Tonight, 7:30 p.m. at the Egg, they'll be presenting We Shall Overcome, a musical celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Created and produced by award-winning piano virtuoso Damian Sneed in honor of the 90th birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., We Shall Overcome showcases repertoire from across the African-American musical traditions that electrified generations of civil rights activists and defenders with interwoven spoken word from Dr. King's recorded speeches. Featuring a band with five vocal soloists, the show ties together a living lineage of music and culture from gospel and spirituals to classical and jazz to soul and rhythm and blues. It is a great pleasure to welcome the man who created and produced all of this, Damian Sneed, who is live in our studio this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? It's great to be here.
It is wonderful to have you here. A great thrill. Thank you very much for doing this. How did this show come about?
This show came about one of my friends, John Gasparo, had me do a Martin Luther King tribute at a club in Harlem, New York, on 125th Street, called Jenny's Supper Club. And it was a big success. And so the next year we decided to do it again. We invited some promoters, and then IMG Artists asked me about doing the tour. And this is my first stop, first city, first tour of my own. I've worked with a lot of other artists, but this is the very first. So I'm excited about Albany.
So what is it like to put something like this together? I would think it could be one of two things, which is, or maybe more than that, but let me just posit this. That you have a billion ideas and you try to get it down to, you know, the 2 hours or so that you present, or that you have to come in with a very defined definition and it just sort of naturally falls into place.
Actually, this fell into place very easily, actually. I thought about songs dealing with protest and reconciliation and songs from the civil rights era, and also songs that I grew up enjoying, listening to and hearing other artists perform, and so it fell together very easily. We have a large repertoire of music that we'll be selecting for each city, for each market on the tour.
Oh, so that'll change from night to night.
Yes.
So that keeps the audience on its toes, it keeps you on your toes.
And in addition to the five vocalists that you mentioned, there's also a classical vocalist that's going to be traveling with me for each market. So that will change as well. I have about four different classical sopranos that will be with me during the tour.
What is it? What does it say about the music and about the time that you're reflecting on, that allows that and have such a beautiful repertoire and to also to have all of these different types of musicians be able to take part in?
Well, music is a universal language. So, in the genesis of this project, I thought about expressing the message of unity, of hope, of love, with different genres and musical styles. So that's really where I got the idea about having it presented and conveyed in classical, jazz, gospel, popular music, American music. And that's really how that came about.
When it comes to Martin Luther King Jr. and the words that you use, so is it actual recordings that you use?
Yes, there's a recording at the beginning and the ending of the performance, yes.
And the music was very much a part of the movement, and you want to convey that as well.
Most definitely. It's not just a concert, but these are songs that were actually used during the civil rights era when Martin Luther King was doing protests and sit-ins and a lot of speeches, and some of those songs have evolved. Like, for example, one of the songs is You've Got to Move, and another song that was, of course, is We Shall Overcome, Oh Freedom, and then even the Beatles song, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Mm. When you look at the music that you have chosen, and as you say, so what changes from venue to venue? Give us an example of what would be different from an Albany show as compared to, say, a show in Pittsburgh or, I don't know where else you're going, Atlanta.
For example, I may pull out a song in the Atlanta area, since I'm from Georgia, that I know is popular in that region because I was born in that region, where in the north, Albany, New York, I may do something that may be a little more familiar with this area based on recordings or things like that. I've spent a lot of time performing with different artists like Aretha Franklin and Diana Ross and Wynton Marsalis, and a lot. I could go on and on and on. So I've had an opportunity to travel around the country. So that gives me a familiarity with the idea of different markets and different regions and how certain music or certain music styles, whether it's the rhythm of the song or the harmonies or certain things, can be really more, I guess, indigenous to that particular region or area. Mm. So that's what makes it exciting.
I was going to say that it makes it exciting, and I mentioned this before, it makes it exciting for you, makes it exciting for the audience, but it also is educational, too. I mean, it gives you an idea of what's going on. It gives you an opportunity to tell us perhaps something we didn't know.
Most definitely. And it's going to be very didactic and enjoyable performance, because I'll be speaking during the performance and explaining why this song or the particular selection was chosen, and also giving a little background about it as well.
What went into finding that information out of learning that background?
You know, it's very interesting. A lot of people have asked me that. For me, though, it's something that was quite organic, because I grew up, my mother was one of the first people in her family to go to college, my father as well. My father grew up on a farm. I was adopted, so my parents were born in the 30s. So a lot of this information was actually passed down firsthand to me. You know, so I always grew up as a child hearing these stories, reading things about the music, and my father exposing me to a lot of old records and old music and giving me the history behind it. So for me, it's weird. It's like this project fell in my lap, but it's something that I've sort of been groomed and nurtured to do since my childhood.
So when you talk about a particular song or a particular, you bring us to a specific time, I assume.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And is it chronological in looking at the life of Dr. King?
It's more of a celebration of his message.
Okay.
And celebrating other artists who use their platform to be a champion for you know, unity, for peace. For example, like I said, I was adopted, so I dealt with rejection a lot. So that's something that I've overcome. That's another theme. There, also like thinking about Nina Simone, mm-hmm. whose song I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free, Joan Baez, or Pete Seeger, you know, with We Shall Overcome. So there, it's also a champion of artists, even the Motown era, you know, thinking about songs like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, you know, things like that, songs that we have used after, I guess, such a dark time in our country. But I guess I can't say it's a dark time. It actually was a very bright time, the civil rights period, because people had to come together to the table to discuss our differences and figure out how we can move forward. And so these songs are all songs that reflect that and that show that.
When you think about the message that you bring, and I know this is the first stop on the tour, but in the early iterations of this, who tends to be the audience and wants to come and ultimately hear this celebration?
Now, that is what is very, very interesting. The audience for this is extremely diverse, all ages. Literally, we had a six-year-old come, couple young children, all the way to people that were octogenarians, you know, the people that were a little more mature young people, I'll say it that way, and people from all walks of life, all demographics, all races, all cultures. So that's why I made sure I included music and styles of music that would really appeal to everyone, which also appealed to me. My palette and my affinity to different genres and styles is very, very broad.
Is it impossible, or is it possible not to? I'll ask it both ways. To present the music, to present the message, and not reflect on what is happening now, and have those words be almost a call to some sort of action.
Very well stated. It is a call to action. It's a call for us to really wake up and not be anesthetized by the anesthetic qualities of the dark vicissitudes of our time, of this era. You know, I may be challenging to say this, but with all of the news and fake news, and with the way that people can be swayed by social media without knowing the facts, and the way people will not really take the time to really read into something and find multiple sources, It creates a sense of people being very quick-tempered and being judgmental on a particular topic. The thing that music does counter to that is that it brings people together very quickly. And so within a moment, by the melody and the harmony and the journey that music will take a person on, by the end of that song or by the end of the performance that evening, if it's our night, they realize that those feelings and those thoughts are immediately dissipated, obliterated, gone, wiped away. So then it will cause people to really think, you know, if I can be in an environment and feel this way around so many different people, why is it that when I'm at home, you know, using my phone or my computer or watching television, things are going my ear gate and eye gate, things can become so much different in feeling. So then it brings the people to the point after the performance. My job and my duty, I feel, is to cause them to really have to look within and consider, you know, what can I do to not just be the music, but what can I do that my life and my actions can act the same way that the music just did in that particular, iteration.
That's why I think context is so important, because you mentioned, of course, music being a universal language. And so with that language, we who are listening to a particular song that perhaps was written for a particular time or as a rebuttal to something that has happened, we listen to that or can listen to that and interpret it in a way of something that happened yesterday at the office or that we saw on the news that morning.
Exactly. For example, one of the songs is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On?
Right.
You know, which the words are so appropriate for now, but it was written, you know, almost, 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. It's so interesting, as you said, that a song that was written for a specific time in context for that time period or that day, that week, that month, can now be presented again today in 2019. Yeah, wow, that is 40, 50 years ago. Wow.
Right.
And imagine that it looks like it fits perfectly with everything we see on the news, everything that's happening or just happened. And that's the power of music, that it is outside of time. It's timeless. And that's when you have a classic song. And so the selections in the repertoire are classic in that idea, not classical. Our classic is if someone, put them in that category or distinction, but they're classic because they live outside of time and they can be applied to whatever time period you really find yourself in.
It seems like it just must be a blast for you putting all of this together and getting ready. How many dates are you doing?
We're doing 36 cities, so we'll be out for about 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Very daunting task, right?
It is a daunting task, but it's the right, I mean, it's the right time in both where we are as societally, culturally, but also with the birthday of Dr. King,
exactly,
as well as Black History Month. So it makes programmatically it makes sense as well.
It does. This is a very difficult time to tour in the winter.
Yeah,
going from Florida to Canada to upstate New York to
Have
California.
Fun. Good luck.
Exactly. You know, with snow and ice. But last night, you know, on our way to, traveling, the wind was like really howling and we ran into some snow. You know, very late at night, dangerous journey. But the thing that makes it all worth it is the fact that we're reaching people, that the music is uplifting, it's encouraging, and it's a great opportunity to be selected to do something like this and to be an ambassador of this message that we shall overcome.
Well, it sounds like a beautiful, beautiful program, and I know it will be. It's tonight at 7:30 at the Egg. We Shall Overcome, a musical celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is created and produced by piano virtuoso Damian Sneed, who has been our guest this morning. Damian, I wish you all the luck in the world. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful tour, and I thank you so much for coming in the midst of all of this, of coming in and speaking to us this morning. A great pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the station, and thank you for all the listeners.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You can find out more information about the performance by going to theegg.org, theegg.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.